Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the first two verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Once again, good morning. Glad to see you here. Happy New Year. I guess I haven't seen you since last year. It works every January 1st, and then it doesn't work anytime the rest of the year. But regardless, glad that you're here. Thank you watching online. Hope you can be a part of any of our services in the future as well. Tonight, I want to go ahead and invite you back tonight for our Live at 5 series. Last week, as we ended the year on Sunday nights, we talked about Ecclesiastes 3 and how there is truly a time for everything. And at the end of that lesson, we came to the conclusion, biblically speaking, that we're not in control. There are things in this life that happen that are out of our control. So tonight, Lord willing, at 5, I want us to talk about God is in control. I think that would be a nice way to start the new year. This morning, as I mentioned last week, we are going to embark on a new sermon series. And I'll describe that at the end of our introduction. But our lesson this morning is entitled, Preach the Word. And I did not write this lesson. In fact, every lesson in this series, I did not write. I'll go ahead and tell you now. They're written by a man, Brother R.C. White. That was what he went by in the Brotherhood. Full name, Richard Campbell White. He was born in 1872 and he died in 1961. And he published a book of sermons. Actually, Brother George Dehoff published a book of sermons, and I try to collect Dehoff books. But R.C. White had his sermons published in 1952, this very book. I've seen it in blue, I've seen it in red, I've seen a paperback in green. It was copyrighted in 1945. Now, I don't want to place too much emphasis on the human author of our lesson today because simply we're here to learn about God, but I want to read you some of his introduction, some of his bio, because I think if we understand the author, there's a tie into this lesson, and then we'll get into our lesson. It says, R.C. White was born near Unionville, Bedford County, Tennessee, September 17, 1872, a son of W.G. and Mary Tabitha White, the eldest of six and the only son of six children. He was reared on a farm, working about 7 months a year, and he went to school 5. After completing a course of study at Unionville High School, he began teaching in July 1892. He taught 17 terms in all. He began preaching in 1892 at Perry's Hall, now known as Joe Johnson Avenue in Nashville. This was soon after entering the Nashville Bible School in October of 1892. He was 20 years old. He'd been baptized 6 years before by E.A. Elam. Brother White graduated with a 4-year diploma from Nashville Bible School in 1896 in the first graduating class of a school now known as David Lipscomb College, now University. Of the 5 of that class, he now alone survives. He then went to George Peabody College for Teachers in 1906, graduated in 1909, where he preached every Lord's Day, took on extra work, and received the Dudley Medal for his high meritorious awards. In 1913, his schoolwork was discontinued, and the general evangelistic work was done out of Nashville for many years. He preached in 17 states. Traveled in many others in interest of the church. He'd always been known that his converts always stay faithful. His first local evangelistic work began in Chattanooga in 1936 at Cowart Street, what the author calls the Mother Church of the Church of Christ in Chattanooga. And when this book was published, he was in his 10th year there preaching. I will save the rest of the biography for maybe a different time. But let's go back to 1937 or 1938 because the story, the way this story was told to me, the person involved in the story couldn't remember what year it was. So either 37 or 38, in Guild, Tennessee, which is near Chattanooga, there was a young man who went to this gospel meeting preached by Brother White. He obeyed the gospel that night. His name was George Clifford Real. Now, 20 years later, he had a daughter, Lori Ruth, who 35 years later had a daughter, Sarah Catherine, who 25 years later, I married her. That's why I like R.C. White, because Mr. Real, or Papa, didn't have a good home life. He didn't grow up in the church like we would like to think, yet He spent 80 years of his life as a Christian. He was a president at East Tennessee School of Preaching, a great gospel preacher from hearing R.C. White. So in this series of lessons, and my goal is on the first Sunday of every month, that way we know when it's going to be. I've picked 12. There's like 40 or 50 sermons in this book, but I have picked 12. And I will preach them my way, but they are his outline. Let's begin, shall we, now that we understand. I think we'll like this study, and if you don't, oh well, it's going to come from God's Word, so you might as well like it. Preach the Word. Friends, this is an important charge. Here we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it's a solemn charge from an older preacher to a younger one, what Paul would call his son in the faith. It's a father in the gospel to his son. And now it's not just a charge to lecture. It's not just a charge to tell a funny story. Friends, Paul is under sentence of death because he knows when he comes out of this prison, he will be beheaded. It's his second time in prison. And he knows that he's not going to make it out alive, or if he makes it out alive, he's not going to last long because there are too many people that want him dead. And so one of the final things that Paul says to Timothy, he says, I charge you to preach the Word. Now, Brother Marshall Keeble would add on this, that means when they want it, when they don't, in season, out of season. Friends, that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to preach the Word. There's two simple points I think will help us understand. And our first one, we need to ask the question, what is the Word? Paul tells Timothy to preach the Word. What is the Word? Go with me to the 8th chapter of Acts, if you will. Acts chapter 8. Verses 4 and 5, 12 and 35. So we're going to jump around in this chapter. Acts 8 and verse 4 and 5. Therefore, they that were scattered went abroad everywhere preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. So verse 4, Luke tells us they went preaching the word. One of those that was scattered, Philip, what did he preach? He preached Christ. Therefore, Christ and the word are synonymous. They went preaching the word. Also, verse 12. When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So they were scattered in verse 4. Verse 5, Philip is preaching Christ. In preaching Christ, what did Philip preach? Well, verse 12 tells us, concerning the things of God and the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ. So that tells us what the word is. But one more in verse 35. Here we see Philip again. He is now with the Ethiopian nobleman or the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip opened his mouth. He began at the same scripture, Isaiah 53, and he preached unto him Jesus. Friends, what is preaching the word? We're telling the story of Jesus. Concerning the nature of the kingdom of God, concerning the nature of the Son of Jesus Christ, or the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But go with me also to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. This will help us understand as well. 1 Peter 1 and verse 25. Peter says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. What is the word? Concerning Christ, the kingdom of God. And what do we learn from Peter that really aids in our study? It endures forever. There is no end to the word of God. So when Paul gives Timothy that charge, Timothy, you need to preach the word. He could have said, Timothy, you need to preach the gospel. You need to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, the death, burial, and resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, which constitutes the gospel. He said, you need to preach it when they want to hear it. Preach it when they don't want to hear it. Because there are times when people desperately need to hear the word of God, but they don't want to hear it. It's still Timothy's charge, and by extrapolation us today, it is our charge to also preach the word. So what is the word? It's Jesus Christ. Now our final point, and there are five subpoints to this one to make it a little bit easier. It's simply titled, Five Helpful Questions. You ready? The first helpful question, where do we preach? Where should we preach? Well, go with me to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Something that we talked about last week in our lesson on the Great Commission. We'll come back to the Great Commission, but Matthew 28, 19, where should we preach? Well, Jesus Christ says plain and clearly, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Where should we preach? Well, Paul, or Jesus Christ, told his disciples, his apostles right there, his last thing on earth, he said, you go everywhere. You preach the gospel to everyone. Go with me, though, to Acts chapter 1, and we'll see how Luke records it. Same thing, but he just phrases it a little bit differently. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus Christ says, you shall receive power. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus Christ, and verse 9, he's going to ascend up into heaven. So literally, the final thing, he says, you're going to start preaching the word in Jerusalem. And then you're going to go throughout all of Judea. And then you're going to take it to Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And, well, Acts chapter 2, do you know where they start preaching at? Where are they? Jerusalem. When? On the day of Pentecost. What happens after Acts chapter 2? They go to all of Judea. Acts chapter 8, where were we just at? Philip goes to Samaria and preaches the gospel. See, they're following what God has said. And then he meets a man from Ethiopia, which at that time, Ethiopia was known as the end of the world or in the uttermost parts of the world. So the gospel truly is going to everyone. But one more passage on this question, we'll move on, is in Acts 20 and verse 20. Where should we preach? Well, they started in Jerusalem. They went outwards. But I want you to notice what Paul tells these elders from Ephesus as he is meeting them for the last time. He knows he'll never see them again, more likely than not. It's a very emotional meeting. He says, you know how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have shown you, and I have taught you first publicly, and second, I taught from house to house. Friends, where do we preach the gospel? Well, Paul says, I stood up in a forum such as we're in today. Paul says, I openly told the gospel. You know I didn't keep anything back. He said, but also went from house to house. He had home Bible studies. He got together with some friends at a friend's house and said, let me tell you about Jesus. Question number one, where preach? Anywhere and everywhere. Question number two, well, when do we preach? When should we preach the word? Well, you go back to Matthew 28 and verse 20, he says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world, or literally even to the end of the age. We're in the third dispensation of time, the Christian dispensation. Jesus Christ says, I will be with you to the end of that, at which point I will come back. So basically, Jesus Christ tells me and he tells you, you need to preach now until I come back. Now until time itself ends. That means we've had almost 2,000 years of this gospel preaching. We need to tell people now. We sing the song, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. We don't want to say, well, you know what? My neighbor needs to hear the gospel. But in 2022, I'm going to tell them. Or, you know what? It's just, no, we need to tell the gospel now. We preach now. Go with me to Luke 24, and then we'll move on to our next question. Luke 24 and verse 45. Why do we preach now? Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And then he gives Luke's account of the Great Commission. Friends, we preach now so that other people can understand the scriptures. Because then at some point, the other people that have been taught the scriptures and have obeyed, then they need to teach the word to the next generation. We don't just say something once and move on and never come back to it, because there may be somebody in the audience that maybe didn't fully understand that passage, or maybe a little confused on how God's scheme of redemption, how it all fits together. That's why we teach. That's why we preach. That's why we study, so we can understand the scriptures. Where do we preach? Everywhere. When do we preach? Now, until Jesus Christ comes back. Our third question, who shall preach? Who shall preach? Whose job is it to preach? Well, once again, if you go back to the Great Commission, Jesus Christ gives these exhortations, these commands to the 11, because Judas has hung himself at this point. Matthias has not been appointed as a replacement. That happens in Acts chapter 1. But then these 11, they told it to other men, who told it to other men, who you go back 2,000 years, told it to me and told it to you, and we're telling it to other people. Friends, who shall preach? We should. Let's go back to where we were a minute ago in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, where Saul of Tarsus, he has not seen the light. That's chapter 9. Acts chapter 8, the Bible says he is wreaking havoc on the church. And notice this, though. Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. That's occurred at the end of chapter 7. He's holding the coats of those that are stoning Stephen. At this time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. They stayed there. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he had made havoc of the church, entering to every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now notice what's happened. They're still in Jerusalem. You have many faithful Christians in Jerusalem, both men and women. Persecution arises at Jerusalem. They can't stay there anymore for the safety of their own lives. So they disperse and they go to Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, where Christ told them to go. But notice, did they keep this to themselves? Did they zip their lips and kind of fold their hands and just not tell anybody? No. What's verse 4 saying? They that were scattered abroad went some places and told a few people. Now, what does your Bible say? What does God's Word say? They went everywhere preaching the Word. Does it say only the best speakers went everywhere? No. It says they that were scattered. That means all the Christians that were in Jerusalem, they realized the gravity of the content that they had to share. They realized that everybody they met had a soul that one day will either go to heaven or hell, depending on how that person has lived their life. And so they literally, it's almost as if they told everybody that they saw the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. So friends, who shall preach? We all should. Now, that's not saying all should stand in the pulpit, for some can't. We can't usurp authority. God didn't design for women to be preachers in the pulpit, but I tell you what, women can teach a good Bible study. Women can teach a good family. There are many things you shouldn't say, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. Oh, but you can. You just got to find the right avenue. You could tell the gospel story. You might could say something that would make it click in somebody's mind better than I can. And I may have spent 10, 12 hours over one passage trying to figure how to reach them. And you might could just say something off the cuff. Why? Because we all have different experiences. We all have different ways of phrasing the same thing. We all must preach. In fact, Paul told Timothy in two chapters before where we got to, we won't have to read it, but just make a note of 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Well, verse 2, he says, commit thou to faithful men what you've heard. And then verse 3, he said, do it as a good soldier. Friends, we are to preach the gospel as if we are in the army, because we sing that song at Vacation Bible School, and it seems like I sing it once a week when I'm speaking to the kindergarten to fifth grade boy in school. I'm in the Lord's army, because we're soldiers, and we've been given our marching order to go preach, so we as good soldiers should go preach. Where? Everywhere. When? Now. Who? Everyone. Question number 4, what shall we preach? What shall we preach? Go with me to 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. Paul says, I determined this with myself. I would not come again to you in heaviness. What's Paul saying? If you're familiar with the situation at Corinth, Corinth was a wicked city. They had been called out of that wickedness. They had put that behind them. They had obeyed the gospel. But some of the worldly influences were trying to creep back in between the first letter and the second letter that he writes to them. And so he says, I'm writing you these things now so I don't have to come and bear the bad news when I'm there in person. But what do we learn? Well, sometimes, friends, sometimes, and I want you to note this, when we preach the gospel, when we're preaching, thus saith the Lord, sometimes we're going to talk about touchy subjects to people. We may talk about 1 Corinthians 7, Romans 7, Matthew 19, 9, marriage, divorce, remarriage. And we may be preaching that to a couple that are away in an adulterous relationship. Or you may be with people who are gambling, or people who are drunkards, or people who are doing all these things. Friends, sometimes when we're preaching the gospel, it's not all buttercups and sunshine because of the situation people find themselves in. But if you realize the outcome of the message you're preaching, you should preach it anyway. That's why Paul says, if I make you sorry, then it'll make me glad. Because he will later say, godly sorrow works repentance. Friends, sometimes we've got to tell, well not sometimes, every time we've got to tell people what they need to hear, whether if it's going to be easy or whether if it's going to be hard. It'd be a whole lot easier if people weren't lost in sin, because then you could just tell the soul-saving message, but then there wouldn't be a need, because if there were no sin, then Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die. But regardless if it makes you uncomfortable or makes them uncomfortable, friends, we need to tell them the gospel. Go with me to 2 John verses 9 through 11, that second little epistle that John writes, so beautiful, just one chapter. 2 John verses 9 through 11. Notice what John says. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. He says, if they're not in the doctrine, if they're not doing what God said, then they don't have God. And you shouldn't say, well, I know you're in a relationship you shouldn't be in, and God says don't do that, but you just go ahead and live that. He said, because even if you don't condemn it, you might as well be approving it. Friends, we can't approve of things that God condemns. I don't care who it is. I don't care how much we love them or maybe you're irritated at them. We can't do that. We must preach. What do we preach? We preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And our final question is, why preach? Why should we preach? And even in Brother White's notes, in parentheses, he had seven reasons beside it. They're not laborious reasons. I don't want to scare you with that. I didn't write the outline, so don't get mad at me. Why should we preach? Well, number one, it's to spread the gospel. It's the source of all true civilization. We spread so a person can live, and a person can live, and a person can live, and a person can live to the Lord. Why should we preach? Because we don't want people to die in their sins. I don't. Oh, it kills me when somebody has died unrepentant of their sins, but there's nothing I can do at that point. That's between them and their maker. Why? They need to hear it. Another reason is commanded by the Lord. Go back to the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. 1 John 5:3, we learn that God's commandments are not grievous. If you love God, you'll keep His commandments. It has been commanded to me, and it has been commanded to you, and everybody that's come in the past 2,000 almost years since Christ gave the Great Commission. It's our job to preach the gospel. Now you can say, well, I'm going to do that. Well, then you can disobey God's commands, but I tell you what, the Bible's filled with people who disobeyed God's commands, and it didn't work out well for them in the end. Why preach? It's commanded by the Lord. Also, why preach? So they can hear Christ. I don't know if you've ever had the chance to sit down with somebody who maybe is in a lost state. Maybe they're having issues, and sometimes when you just start telling them the Bible story, their whole attitude, their whole demeanor changes. I think about times going to different nursing facilities and people who literally are losing their minds due to other conditions, and you start telling them the story of Jesus, and they remember that, and they perk up and they smile. Jesus Christ, we want people to hear Him. In fact, That's what God said in Matthew 17 and verse 5. They're on the Mount of Transfiguration. While they're preaching, you see Moses, you see Elijah, Peter, foot in his mouth, said, Lord, it's great that we're here. Let's build a place of worship for you and for Moses and Elijah. God circles them in a cloud and says, this, Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Same thing he said at the baptism, but here he adds, hear ye him. Friends, we are to hear Christ. In fact, that's the whole point of the book of Hebrews. God, who in sundry time and divers manners, Hebrews 1:1, spoke in time past the fathers and prophets, but now in these last days has spoken to us by Jesus Christ, his Son. We are to hear Christ. Another reason, why should we preach, friends? It produces faith. You know the verse as well as I do, Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. Friends, if you want somebody that you love dearly, somebody that's lost, to have faith, they need to hear and read the Bible. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The passage I believe we touched on last week, Acts 15:7, Peter is recounting what happened with Cornelius. He said, I spoke, they heard, and they believed. They heard. Friends, we want people to hear Christ, and when they hear Christ, it produces faith. Another reason, I believe this is number 5, why should we preach? Friends, it saves the soul. I'm not just up here quoting Bible verses to show you what I've studied this past week because I'm concerned about your soul, and I'm trying to give you things that you can also tell other people. It's all found in God's Word, friends. It saves the soul. Go with me to Acts chapter 11 and verse 14. Why preach? It saves the soul. In Acts chapter 10, we have the conversion story of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 11, almost immediately after it happens, Peter is called into question over it. Peter has to defend what happened, and he's recounting the story. And notice verse 14. It said, you will send for a man, Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words, you might want to underline words if you don't have that, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Friends, why do we preach? Because it's commanded of the Lord, so they can hear Christ, produce faith, and upon this faith, after hearing these words, be like those in Cornelius' household. They heard words whereby they must be saved. That's why we preach. We want people to be saved. James says in James 1:21, these words are able to save your soul. Not just because, oh, I really like the way that Luke writes Acts, or, oh, Matthew's my favorite gospel writer. You don't want to share the words just because of that. Now, you may go to a different gospel writer because you like the way it's written better. That's 6 1/2 a dozen the other, because there's 4 different accounts of the same thing. But we tell them because it saves their soul. Number 6, why do we preach? Friends, it is a complete guide. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, proof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped to every good work. Without telling you too much of this story, while I was putting up Christmas decorations at the house one Sunday afternoon before our live at 5, the phone rang. It was a Murfreesboro number. I answered it because I try to answer almost every call. I missed where the guy was saying. I thought he was from World Outreach Church, and I thought we'd have a great Bible discussion. Turns out he was a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He was a Mormon. And he was saying, we need God's complete Word. And I said, we've got it. We talked 19 minutes and 37 seconds that I don't think he planned on, but that's okay. Because he'd say something, and I kept coming back with Scripture. We need another book. Oh, no, I had him agree. All Scripture. He said, yeah, that means God's Word. I said, you just agreed that we don't need any more. Now you say we need it. Friends, why should we preach the Word? Because there are people in the world today that don't realize that this is the complete written will and testament of God. And the New Testament is Jesus Christ. It's complete. Think about 2 Peter 1:3. It says, I give you all things that pertain to life and godliness. It means we don't need anything else. Think about this. You go to a doctor, get a prescription, and you're supposed to follow that exactly. You give it to the druggist, and they give it. It's complete written. They say, well, take this, 2 days, run and skip it, whatever it is. It's complete. We would follow that. Why wouldn't we follow God's complete written Word? That was written by God Himself in our final point. of why preach, friends, it leads to heaven. If nothing else, preaching and people obeying the word gets you a home in heaven if you're faithful to the end. We learn in Acts 20 and verse 37 that Paul says it talks about inheritance among the saints. Why preach? It's the source of all civilization. It's commanded so they can hear Christ because it produces faith, saves the soul, complete God, it leads us to heaven. Friends, Paul was very simple, yet Paul was very forceful when he said, preach the word. Now, in conclusion, point number two, as I quote this outline, exhort to obedience. This is the part of the invitation where I encourage you, if you've not obeyed the gospel, maybe you put it off all last year. I can't go back and relive last year, any moment of it. But we're living right here, right now. We've preached the word. We've preached the soul-saving message of Christ. I'm reminded of passages like Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the will of the Father? Well, Hebrews 5:8-9, Jesus Christ, the author of eternal salvation. He wrote the book. We hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We believe it's true, Mark 16:15-16. We repent of our sins, Luke 13:3, also verse 5. Change in thought results in change in action. We confess Jesus Christ before a group such as this. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. 10 of the most important words you'll ever say in your life. On that confession, you're baptized. Acts 2:38, 22:16. And now, what tarriest thou, arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Christ's invitation is there. It is ready for you.